first wife.
Hallelujah.
The earnest.
Yeah.
Till he redeems the purchased possession.
Hallelujah.
I'm possessed tonight.
Hallelujah.
Brother Clark, preach to us. Our hearts are ready. And won't you know prayers have went up for you around these altars many times. And I love you. Y'all make Brother Clark's prayer.
Are you glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
If you're not glad to be here, you're not glad to be anywhere. But we're glad. We're glad to be here, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm going to get wired up here in just a minute and hope I don't get tangled up. But I'm glad tonight that there is a better home than this.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. There's a better home than this.
Amen.
I thought as they were singing the song, "The Holy Hills," for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with shout. The Lord's not going to send the number one angel. He's not going to send the prophets of old. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. I've got... I used to mow, Brother Mike, when I pastored at home, my home church. One of the things that I did, I mowed the cemetery there.
Yeah.
And Brother Kenny, I'd mow there and my at that time and today, but I have other loved ones there now. But
yeah.
I had a grandpa and a grandma that was buried there. And I would wait. Now I know this is going to sound silly, but I'm mowing the yard. It would sound silly, but I would wait till last to mow around their grave and to weed eat around their tombstone. And when I would get done before I left, I would make sure all the grass was off of the tombstone. And I would stand here. On one side it said Charlie Harvey Parks. And on the other side it said Floyd Elizabeth Parks. And I would stand there and look at them. I know they're not there. But I would say this. I would say, Lord, it sure would be a good day if you'd come right now. Why would you want that to happen? Because the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, there's a home-going day one day. Can you say amen? There's a home-going day. And I believe it's closer than we can ever imagine. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6. Jeremiah 6. I looked at the lineup, heard the lineup of the preachers that's preaching this week, that's already preached, and I said, oh God, what in the world am I doing here? But I'm just going to be me tonight.
Amen.
Just going to be me. I love this church. I love Brother Allen. And I love you all. And thank you all for allowing me to be here. I want to thank Brother Phil Shackelford for riding with me down here today. I want to thank Brother Tim. He's back there. He's live streaming this at home. And we got a lot of church folks. I've been announcing the camp meeting here, and he's live streaming. A lot of folks watching that from back in northwest Arkansas. He brought a load of fellas down here, and we thank God that they came to be a part of the meeting tonight. And we're glad you're all here. Jeremiah 6, would you get there? Would you say amen?
Amen.
And would you stand with me to reverence the reading of the Word of God? I'll try not to hold you very long. I try not to be a long-winded preacher. I only want to say what the Lord wants me to say. And then I'll be done. And then we'll just get out of the way and see what God wants to do tonight. But I do believe tonight that God really, really wants to do something.
Yes, sir.
I know in my heart of hearts that God is up to something.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Don, it's everywhere. It's not just at Harmony. It's just not in Springdale. It's just not at wherever. If you want God to do something, He'll do something for you. He'll do it. And I believe with all my heart. I know this is the choir tonight. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to be here. But I do believe that there's folks in this building that are standing at a crossroads.
Yes, sir.
They're standing at a crossroads. And tonight you need to make a decision on what you're going to do. You've got to make a decision. Jeremiah chapter 6, this is very familiar scripture. Verses number 16 and verses number 17. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." He says, verse 17, said, "Also I will set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord," here we go, "stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." If I should give you something to think about just for a little bit tonight, it would be this: standing at the crossroads, the old paths is what I'd like to use. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful that, God, we can be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful crowd. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful singing and the wonderful music. But, God, right at this exact minute, God, it's just me and it's just you. And, God, as I stand here tonight, I need the unction of the Holy One. And I pray, God, that you would speak through me tonight. I pray, God, that our ears and our hearts are open. And, God, we're receptive and we're sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I pray tonight, God, that you would convict any that are lost and you'd save them. God, I feel tonight in my heart there's folks that are standing at a crossroads, and God, they're needing to make a decision, and God, they're looking down one path and they're looking down another path, and God, I pray tonight that you would allow them and help them choose the right path. And God, tonight we will thank you and we'll honor you for it in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Brother Josh made mention, and I believe it's everywhere, Brother Josh, that folks are leaving this walk of life and stepping out into eternity. And it doesn't matter tonight how old you are. He made mention of a 35, 34, and the children. We had some folks there at our church, 49 years old, 60 years old. I'm telling you, friend, death is not a respecter of person, and it allows me to know tonight that we need to be ready. I tell this, Brother Don, I plan for the future. I've got great plans. I've got great visions on what the future holds, and I want to go in that direction. But I also want you to know I have made my preparation, that if my future is never to be, I have a future just over in the glory land. Can you say amen? So tonight the main question is, are you ready if the Lord should call today? Brother Allen, we look up the word crossroads. It means this definition: an intersection of two or more roads. A point, now listen to this, a point at which a crucial decision must be made that will have far-reaching consequences. Well, that sounds pretty good, don't it? But listen to this. There are folks in this room tonight. They're standing at a crossroads. And you say, Brother Clark, what are you talking about? There are folks here tonight that are standing at a crossroads in their marriage. You may have walked in this building tonight and you've got divorce on your mind. You've got separation on your mind. You've got leaving on your mind. I want you to understand tonight, the devil wants you to look down this crossroad. He wants you to look down the road that looks so bright. He's got a voice down there that's pulling you that way and telling you you'll not have to deal with that anymore if you come that way. And that's what our flesh wants to do. It wants to go in a direction that makes us feel good, that elevates us and makes our flesh feel really good. But I want you to understand tonight, down that long, dark, dusty road, if you think it's bad now, you just walk down that road for a little while and you'll find how bad it is. It'll be lonely and it'll be dark, and you'll get down there and you'll think, how in the world did I ever end up here? Let me tell you how you ended up there. You went there one step at a time of hearing the voice of the enemy. But oh, I thank God there's another road. There's another path that I can get on, and it leads to joy. It leads to happiness. It leads to victory tonight in Jesus Christ. Listen to me tonight. Homes are breaking. They're just breaking up, even in the church. Hey, listen to me tonight. You know what everybody, hey, you know what a husband and wife need? They need an altar of prayer together and pray till the glory of God floods their soul. Some of you tonight are standing at a crossroads with your children. Man, you got children that are in rebellion against God and in league with hell. Brother J.C., there's not a finer couple in the world than this couple at our church. They raised their children in our church. They've been there for about 45 years, Brother Allen. And they raised all three of their children in that church. Two of them, there's two girls and a boy. Those two girls are rock solid. They love God. They're singing for Jesus in their church. But they've got a son that is in rebellion against God and in league with hell. I'm telling you, it breaks that mama and daddy's heart. Yesterday morning, I preached on just a little while. Brother Allen, there's power in her thought. There's power in our thoughts. Now, you're going to think I've lost my mind tonight, but I want to see things. I want to speak those things as not as though they were. Amen. That's what I want to see. And Brother Brian, I was preaching about that boy yesterday morning, and I'm telling you, he's out there. He's living like hell. He's strung out on dope. He's strung out on drugs. He's been thrown in the prison, and I've watched his little mom and daddy fall in an altar and weep their eyes out and cry. And I can see age, Brother Jay. They've aged. They've probably aged 10 years in the last year of time. And I see their heart broken. But yesterday morning I said, I think this thing to be so. I said, I've got it in my mind that I'm going to see Monty Gerald Johnston walk down this very aisle and kneel at this very altar and give their heart and this life to Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? He's had a choice. He stood at the crossroad and he made the wrong decision. But I thank God for a second chance. Amen. I thank God that he's one that we can turn to. He can get us back on the path that we need to be on. America tonight, no matter how and where you look, all signs point to a fact that a decision has to be made. Jesus is coming back, and you need to make a decision. Not mentioning the elements of nature that we see, but we've never seen so much hatred, and we've never seen so much evil in this walk of life. Racism is at an all-time high. Hey, racism is raising its ugly head like never before. But I'm glad tonight, Brother Allen, there'll be no evil in heaven. I'm thankful tonight, Brother Dom, there'll be no racism in heaven. I thought the other day, Brother Brian Bowerman, the old hymn of the church that we used to sing a lot, it says, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, but joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Oh, let's go with it a little bit. As the verse says, walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Oh, friend, you hear me tonight. The holy hills are calling. Heaven is real and it's going to be wonderful there. Amen. We can't get along here. We can't get along here in this world. There's fighting and feuding. If you don't believe in it, turn on the news every day. There's fighting and there's feuding. Hey, we've even come to that point in the church. We need to stop fighting and we need to stop feuding and we need to make a decision. Either I'm all in or I'm all out. Hey, I want you to understand it's getting in time. And tonight's the night that we need to get in and bury ourselves deep and say, God, I'm going with you through thick and thin, through hell and high water. Whatever the world throws at me, I'm going all in. I'm going down the right path. And I'm going to go with you until you call me out of this walk of life. In Jeremiah's days now, Brother Allen, we have his ministry in our text were days of great spiritual wickedness. The people had sinned against God and he was ready to give them up to captivity. In fact, they did go into captivity for a while. Even as they sit on the edge of judgment, the Lord had desired that they would turn back to him. Do you know what? Tonight, God's will is that you turn to him. There's not a place that you can go that God can't come and bring you back and set you where you need to be. The day has come today. We are headed to a place of judgment in this world. And while we sit here on the edge of judgment, you know what we've done in America. We have literally spit in the face of God. But do you know tonight that we've got a God, even though we've treated him bad, even though we've cast him down, even though we said some say he don't even exist, there he sits and he waits. He's got his ear turned to us and he's waiting on us to call on him. And he's a God that will forgive. We sit on the edge of judgment, Brother Allen, but God's mercy and God's grace is still calling the church back. He's still calling America back in these last days. He's given us another chance to get it right. In this verse, we are giving the image of a traveler, Brother Brian, who's come to a fork in the road. He has an opportunity to go any way he desires. God tells him to ask for the old path, which is the good way. I want to ask you a question tonight. God's given you an opportunity. You're standing at the crossroads. Hey, God could have you go the right way because you had to, but He wants you to go the right way because you want to. Amen. I thank God. Hey, Brother Phil and I was coming down here today, and he and I was in the vehicle, and I'm telling you, we had a glorious time. I tell you what, we did. You would have never known it by the way he was acting earlier in here tonight. You know what I'm expecting you to do, Phil, Sunday morning? I want you to do that very same thing right there. Yeah. Amen. Look at him. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Has he been out? We's on the way down here. And, man, we's having some church. And we one of the statements that he made to me was, I'm glad I was raised the way I was raised. Boy, I am too. He said, aren't you? I said, you better believe it. Well, how was you raised? I was raised just like we're having church here tonight. I was raised in those same songs that we sing. Hey, I'll meet you in the morning. Just outside the Eastern Gate over there. We raised on that song. Some of those songs you're singing tonight, Brother Allen, we hadn't heard them in quite some time. But boy, I thank God I was raised in that. And you know what? They're just as real and they're just as precious as they ever been. But listen to this tonight. Brother Jay, instead of traveling on blindly, the traveler is to stop and ask for directions. You know what tonight? If you try to make it on your own, you're going to get lost. We don't want to stop and ask for the way. We don't want to stop and ask direction. We want to be the owner and we want to be in control of our own destiny. And God, listen to me. God will allow you to be in control of your own destiny. But at the end of your walk of life, if you want to control your own destiny, if you want to control your own eternity, you better get ready for the outcome. You better get ready for it. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Back where I'm from, I was raised in a very small town of 200 people. In fact, Brother Jay will tell you, if you go into Scranton, Arkansas tonight, the population sign, I know Amber in 11th hour has probably been to Dublin, the population sign is 222. Salute. It's where I was raised. And I thank God for the way I was raised. You can go back in time there and nothing has ever changed. People hadn't fixed their house up. It looks just like it did when I left there 23 years ago. Same people live there. They're the routine. But you know what? I'm thankful for that old time life. And I love going there. And I'm also thankful of the old time church. Brother J.C. Brother J.C. is my pastor. Brother J., how old are you? 82 years old. Brother J.C. became my pastor. Now, I was raised in church. My mama got saved when she was 29 and I was 4. I was 4 years old. And from that moment of time, we started going to the Dublin Free Will Baptist Church. And do you know where mama goes to church now? At the Dublin Free Will Baptist Church. My mama is 70, fixing to turn 76 years old, and she's been there. Brother Jay, I was raised in that church, and Brother J.C. became my pastor when I was about 15 or 16 years old. Now, I had made fun of every preacher that ever come into that church. Then get up. I was raised under that old time hacking preaching. I tell you, God loves you. If you die with your sin, you're dying and going to hell. That's the way I was raised. And let me tell you, I like that kind of preaching. Amen. I like it. I like it. When I got saved, Lord called me to preach. That's the way I wanted to preach. And my little wife, her finger was about that long. Says, you're not going to hack like that boy. So I'm a wind-sucking preacher. Amen. But when Brother J.C. came to be the pastor of the church, there was something a little different about him that got a hold of me. Got a hold of me. Not that the other men wasn't called and they wasn't anointed, but there was a connection. God used him to connect with me. And Brother J was there. And Brother J is, Brother Mike, I sit in the back corner. The Dublin church has only got two sections of seats. And they're about this long of this section here. And there was 8 or 9 pews on each side. And right behind the section of seats on the left side from the pulpit was the door that went to the restrooms. And I sat directly on the last seat in front of that door. That way I could make an escape. And Brother J.C. has seen me wilt under the presence of God, the conviction of God. I want to tell you something. I was a good boy. I was raised right. I never drank a drop of alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I didn't cuss because mama beat that out of me. That's the way I was raised. And the church, they loved me because I was raised in the church. And you know what they did? They put me in a Sunday school superintendent. And I'm lost. This is back in the days where you'd get up and have a song or a memory verse or a memory verse and a song, and then you'd have prayer and you'd dismiss to Sunday school. Listen to this. I thank God for that old time church, because it's come time for me, Brother Brian, to get up and read that memory verse, and I'd flip over to a scripture. Just random. I'm not prepared for it. I'm lost. And I'd get up and I'd start reading, and when I did, I'd start crying. I'd start crying. And Brother Jay, the folks thought I was getting blessed. I wasn't getting blessed. The Lord was killing me with conviction. And I ran from God. But Brother Jay just kept preaching hell hot. He kept preaching judgment sure and eternity long. And he kept preaching. It got so hot, Brother Jason, that I moved and I quit coming for a little while. And then Brother Jay got led to go to Subiaco and started another church. And his daughter come up to me and said, "Hey, we started this church. It was in a one-room little block, a rock building. It might seat 30 people and it would be jam-packed full." She said, "We're going to start the church. We only got about 6 people or 8 people. And we want you to come. Actually, we just need you to come and occupy a seat. That's all we want." And I walked in there that night just to occupy a seat. I'm a big old boy sitting right down there. And man, let me tell you, I'm still talking about the old time way. Amen. I'm talking about old time prayer warriors that would get in an altar and sound like a pack of dogs running when they was praying. They'd pray out loud and they'd pray. The old men would pray like they was preaching and they'd get happy in the Lord. They'd had a prayer meeting about that revival, that God would move and God would dwell and God would save. You know what they were doing and not even knowing it? They was praying for me. They was praying for me. That old time way. And Brother Jason, I walked in there that night just to occupy a seat. And when I sat down, listen, Amber, I don't remember a song that the singer sang. I don't remember one word of the sermon that the preacher preached. But all I know is the Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, came and sat down beside me and began to tell me how much He loved me. And if I would open my heart to it, it changed my life forever. You know where I was standing? I was standing at a crossroads and I had to make a decision. It was either old Clark had to get in or he had to stay out. That's where some of you are tonight. That's good preaching tonight. That's where you're at tonight. God will let you make your own decision. But this is what happens in the church anymore. We think the old time way is outdated. Now we want to be entertained in church. Entertainment has taken the place of anointing. Popularity has taken the place of the power of God. You know what we do, Brother Don, anymore? I realize tonight that I've got 2 microphones on me, and I hope I don't get electrocuted. But listen to me. We turn the volume up. And we mistake volume for anointing.
Amen.
I don't care how loud you turn the volume up. If you ain't anointed, you ain't anointed. And let me say this tonight. You get this. There's a difference between a singer and an anointed singer. Amen. There's a difference between a preacher and an anointed preacher. Listen to me. If the preacher is not anointed, it's just a bunch of words. But when the preacher is anointed, it becomes a message from heaven that God has breathed into that preacher. You know what we need back into the church? Instead of trying to be entertained, we need some old-time Holy Ghost field singers and some old-time Holy Ghost field preachers to get back to the old way. After all, the Lord said, it is the good way. Amen. It's the good way. We need to get back to that, Brother Brian. That anointed preaching. That anointed singing. You know what happens when you have some anointed singing and some anointed preaching? You'll have some anointed shouting. People will start shouting the victory again. Hey, we've lost the shout in the church. You know why? Because there ain't no anointing there. Amen. And Brother Allen, if there's no anointing there, there's certainly not going to be anybody saved. Because if conviction is not there, Brother Mike, no man cometh to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. I do too. Amen. Maybe they're watching tonight on Sluder Vision. Amen. But the results of having the old path, I believe this tonight. I believe it tonight. Is to have victory in the church again. Many will not choose the old path. But they'll choose another path that will end them in nothing but destruction and despair. How many more messages, preachers, do they need to hear? How many more songs do we need to hear and sing before they realize that Jesus is coming and they realize that they need to be ready? But let me tell you what holds folks back tonight. Pride holds us back. We let pride keep us in our condition. We will listen to me tonight. There'll be no pride in heaven. But listen to this. There'll be no pride in hell either. There'll be no pride in hell either. The folks tonight in hell, Brother Brian, would give anything if they could in this world to be sitting in this atmosphere tonight. These folks that are here tonight, Brother Allen, wouldn't get 10 miles from here because the crowd that was in hell, they would run to this place, they would run to this altar. But guess what? There's no more altar calls. There's no more sermons. There's no more songs. There's no more presence of God. It's for eternity. It's for eternity. And if I was you tonight and I was standing at the crossroad, I'd choose Jesus. I'd choose Jesus. Tonight we let pride hinder us. So tonight, listen to me. Why don't you drop your pride? And why don't you realize that you're standing at the crossroads? I believe tonight, and I don't know a soul in your church hardly. I don't know 3, 5, 10 people here tonight by name. But I want you to understand something tonight. If you're standing at a crossroad, this is for you tonight. And I'm going to ask you what you're going to do. Why don't you drop your pride and make your way to an altar of prayer and accept Jesus as your Savior tonight? We're Jeremiah chapter 18. We'll go a little farther tonight in the Scripture. Jeremiah 18. Let me see if I can get there. 18 verses 15 through 17 says this tonight. Because my people hath forsaken me and they have burnt incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient path, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes by thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. What do you say tonight, preacher? This is what I think Brother Allen is saying. Because they said, we will not walk therein. We will not go therein because we've got other things that we want to do. They worshiped other things than worshiping God. How many of us tonight in this world, and that we see it all around us. We worship things instead of worshiping God. We worship our money. We worship our success. There's folks that even worship their body. They'll go, they'll work out. They think that they look so great, and that's what they live for, and that's what they do. But I want you to understand, friend, you can have all the money in this world. You can have the greatest job, and you can have the greatest physique and the greatest body in the world. But if you're not ready to meet Jesus Christ, it's all going to vanish and all going to perish away. And let me tell you, if that's the way that you are and that's the way that you want to live, let me let you in on something. This is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. People standing in the church tonight, Brother Jay, they're confused. They're confused. They're making wrong decisions, not knowing that we have the answer. We have the answer. Brother Allen, I pinned this down tonight. And certain that man had a dream. I don't even remember who it was. I just pinned this down. He had a dream. And in this dream, the room was full of sick people. All of them were in a hospital, all laying on a hospital bed. And all of them had IVs in their arms. And each bed, now listen to this, each bed had a doctor that was standing by it. We think, well, that's the place that I want to be. But the problem with that was that no one in the bed was asking the doctor to help them. We walk into church, Brother Mike, every week. The church is a hospital for the hurting. We come in, there's hurting people. They got IVs in their arms spiritually. They're lame. They're halt. They're withered. Hey, they're hurting. And they walk into the hospital. And the great physician is there. And nobody asked him to help him. That's a sad day, but that's where we are in the church. Listen tonight. He is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Many might walk out of here tonight saying, I don't need help. I don't need help. I want to tell you something tonight, you do need some help. The Lord still wants His people to ask for the old paths. There's a right path and the wrong path. The one that only He can bless is the path that honors Him. That's it. Brother Jeremy, I heard this from two different people and I pinned this down and thought I'd use it sometime. There's a Christian college, and I won't mention who it is, and because you'd be shocked out of your mind if I'd tell you. They are allowing forms of nudity in their classes, and they consider it a form of worship. Somewhere along the line, somebody's went down the wrong path. Old folks, young folks in the church, there's seemingly, Brother Jeremy, a warfare between the old crowd and the new crowd. The old crowd don't like what the new crowd's doing. And the young crowd don't like what the old crowd's doing. And so we've got a conflict. I want to say this to the old crowd. We can learn from the young crowd. But let me say this to the young crowd. You can learn from the old crowd. You can learn from the old crowd. Oh, this is my only service. Let's just go for it. Let's just do it. I'm going to tell you something. I said this, I'm going to unload it right here. The other night I told this to our people because this is the way I felt with things that are going on in our world with the shootings that's taking place. I want you to grab a hold of this. That is the most tragic thing that I could ever imagine. And when my daughter, Brother Darren, was in school and I'd drive her to school, when she'd get out of the car, I'd pray God's hand of protection on her because I don't know what she's facing when she walks in that school. Now she's a school teacher, and you know, I don't take her to school anymore, but I still ask God to keep his hand of protection upon her and so on. And I don't know, Brother Brian, what I'd do if somebody went in a school and murdered my daughter. I tell you, I know I would be upset, I would be angry, and I would think that something needed to be done. But we see a younger generation that's rising up in this thing, 14, 15, 16 years old, and they're demanding that something needs to be done. I agree that something needs to be done. There's a right way to do it, but a 14-year-old don't need to be demanding nothing. Nothing. Amen. Hey, and you know why they demand it? Because they demand it at home, and they get it at home. That's good preaching tonight. They get it at home. And because mom and daddy gives it to them, they think that everybody's going to roll over for them and give them what they want. Let me tell you something, mama. Let me tell you something, daddy. You need to get back to the old paths. You need to get back in this book. We need to be the head of our home and be what God wants us to be and bring discipline back in the home again. Amen. Amen. That's what we need. And let me tell you something. Older crowd, you need to respect the younger crowd. And the younger crowd, you respect the older crowd. Because we're the church together. This young man is 21 years old. Amber, how old are you? 27. Oh, God, you're getting old. Amen. I'm teasing. Oh! How old? I'm going to tell you something. I admire, and I mean this with all my heart. They sang at our camp meeting. Ever since we've had it, they're singing This May Again. I admire them so much. I admire them so much for who they are and what they are in Jesus and how that they're their age worship God the way they do. I admire that. Jaquita and Grant, I admire you guys. I love you. I'm excited for May for you to get to Calvary. I'm excited. Amen. But listen to me. We can learn from each other. Yes. Let's not discard them and throw each other away. Amen. This is what happens, Brother Brian, that I feel. If you have two different styles of church in your church, if the youth has one style and the older generation has another style, when that youth group gets ready to come to church, they're not coming. And let me tell you why. Because they're on different ends of the planet.
You're exactly right.
Why don't we blend this thing together? Come on, let's suck it up, old people. Let's just get it together. If they want to sing, hey, I heard them singing this. We sang some songs that some of our folks might not like, but I really like. He knows my name. I thank God he knows my name. Jesus Messiah. What's wrong with that? Because he is Messiah. What's wrong with that? It just ain't. I've really got a bad deal right here, Brother Allen.
Don't say that about Jesus in the house.
And I even like Jesus is in the house. Give me a high five. I even like that too. But where we are is we're divided even in the old church. We got to work together. We got to get on the path together. We got to walk together. And I've detoured. I got to get back to this and I got to finish. Brother Allen, during World War II, the Battle of the Bulge. Now I want you to listen to this. This is really good. There was a group of German soldiers who dressed themselves in the uniforms of the Allies. These German soldiers took American military vehicles. They took them through the German countryside, changing the road signs. While the American troops came to the various crossroads, they were often fooled and were led in the wrong direction. This deception of the Germans almost gave them the victory. Well, what would they do? They wouldn't remove the sign. If the sign said this way, they would turn it ever so slightly to get it to turn another way. Oh, the sign was there. They just turned it a little. And I believe what's happened in the church, the modern church, oh, the signs are there. We're churchy. But we've turned the sign to a point that has become very, very dangerous. Just like those German soldiers caused confusion and death by changing the road signs. So many in our day are leading people off course into hell. Because, Brother Brian, they are changing some of the road signs of faith. The young lady, Ashley, tonight, and Brother Josh sang a song, "You Can't Get Saved Unless You Get to the Cross." We're changing the road sign of salvation. We're changing the road sign of salvation. Oh, I believe. I'm glad you believe. I'm glad you believe. Even the devils believe and they tremble. But it's more about believing. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. We turn the road signs, Brother Allen, if we turn the road signs and we don't believe in biblical salvation, we have taken and removed the blood of Jesus out of the equation. You know, Brother Brian, I preached a sermon years ago, and the title of it is, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Or no, it wasn't this. It was, "Thank God the song didn't stop at nothing." That's what I preached. Thank God the song didn't stop at nothing. Now, it would be pretty silly if you got up in the morning, Brother Allen, you said, "Get your song books and turn to whatever page Nothing But the Blood of Jesus is," and you start singing, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing. "What Can Make Me Whole Again?" Nothing. But I'm glad tonight that the song didn't stop at nothing. "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. "What Can Make Me Whole Again?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, the Word of God declares it, and will declare it, Brother Jay, until this thing is all over. It says, "Without the shedding of blood, there'll be no remission of sin." But tonight, if you want to make heaven, Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. Sister Amber and Elizabeth, there, they sing, "Satan, you can't cross the bloodline." And I'm glad tonight that he can't cross the bloodline. And I could go on and on and on and on about the truths, the old foundational truths of the Word of God and the church. But you know, the old things that the church was established on. I have the old philosophy like this: if it ain't broke, let's not fix nothing. I'll close with this, and I don't know how you want this done at the end, Brother Allen, but there was a young man, in fact, we talked to him today. To keep this in mind, I'm talking about the crossroads, the old paths. Young man we talked to today, this young man was raised in one of the most godly heritages of any young man I'd ever known. He was raised with godly, his grandparents were pastors, founded a church in Wichita, Kansas. And that church is still there today and thriving today. This boy's grandpa was the founding pastor. His uncle is the pastor now. He has an uncle that has a church now in Pierce City, Missouri. They used to travel the country and sing songs. You've heard some of their vintage songs, "Stroll Over Heaven." They'd walk on stage and they would sing and the glory of God would fall. Back, Brother Jay, in 1972, my little daddy was lost. And this family came to Charleston, Arkansas at the football field. And they got up there, and my mom had just gotten saved. And she had obligated my little daddy to take her and another couple from the church to this concert. It made my daddy furious. It made him madder than mad because she had obligated him. And when they got to the football field, he was still so mad at my mom. He wouldn't even sit with her. He wouldn't even sit with her. Boy, that's a bad deal. No, I believe that God had a hand in this. Mom and Dad had to go, or Mom and the other couple had to go up in the bleachers so high. But Daddy looked in on the first bleacher of that football field was a man that he worked with. And that guy waved at him and said, "Come sit with me." God was working this thing like you wouldn't believe. They get up and they started singing, "Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. Took my place at Calvary. Now I won't have to go. All my life I give Him, for He gave His for me when He signed my pardon that day at Calvary." My mom sitting up there, she said, they give an altar call, and she said, "I watched your daddy run to that altar and give his heart and life to Jesus." I'm talking about an anointed family. But this young man, Brother Jay, had taken the wrong path. It had been, I guess you might say, pushed down his throat all his life, because that's all he knew. And he thought that being a Christian, Brother Mike, that you had to be perfect. And he would look at his cousins and he'd say, "I'm not them. I can't live like them. I can't be like them." So he thought, because he couldn't be like them, he couldn't be a Christian. And so the enemy had him at a crossroads, and he took the wrong path. He gives the testimony, Brother Jay, we heard it today. He's been stabbed. He's been shot. And it's only the hand of God. He had no idea, Brother Brian, it was just the mercy of God that was keeping him alive. Because he said, "I should have died, but I didn't." You know why he didn't? Because he got a mama that rang the prayer bells of heaven. He got family that's lifting his name up to God. Well, here a period of time, by end of last year, Brother Brian, he got real sick. He had to go to the hospital. And he tells his testimony, Brother Jay. He said, I flatlined 3 times and they had to shock me 3 times. He said, I died. He said they would bring me back to life, and it was bad. It was getting worse, and they had called the family in. The doctors had got the family and said, "Look, it's not looking very good for him, and you need to go say goodbye to him, whatever you need to do, because I don't know how much longer he's going to live." And he said, "Brother Don," he said, "you know, they was getting ready to put a trach in me. They're going to hook me up to some things to keep me alive." And I flatlined again. And he said, "When I flatlined again, God."
Come on, come on, come on.
Boy, I'm glad I got a God that loves me. I'm glad I got a God that loves me, Brother Mike. He said, "This is just real." Somebody said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "I know it was real because I was there." He said, "I woke up and I was in a grave and I was going deeper and deeper and deeper in that grave. It got darker and darker and darker in that grave. And I could see demonic, I could see demons, black objects that were around me, and they're dragging me down." And he said, "I looked up at the top of that grave and I saw a little light, and something on the inside of me said, if I could just get to the light." He said, "I started clawing in that grave trying to get up, and I was going deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'd look at my hands and they were full of dirt and they were full of mud." And he said, "Only thing I knew to do was to call on the one that Mom taught me about." And I said, in the very simplest way, I said, "Lord, would you help me? Would you help me?" Brother Mike, this is what he said. He said, "I know it was," we talked to him before we came tonight. He said, "There was a man that stood underneath me wearing a purple robe. And he said, he picked me up on his shoulders and he began to lift me up into that light. And as soon as I got to that light, I woke up and my family was around me." And he said, "I threw my hands in the air and started giving God honor and started giving God praise." What are you talking about? When you're standing at a crossroad, we've got a God that'll help you get on the right path.
Amen.
Amen. We called him, Phil did.
Old Kim.
Old Kim Ledbetter. I said, "Would you come down there and tell our church that?"
We called Ben.
Called his mama. Said, "Would you bring him down here and let him tell our church that?" I'm telling you, friend, tonight, this thing is more real than what you understand.
Yes, sir.
There's a heaven.
There is a heaven. Brother Don, the old time preachers used to preach about a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. There is his heaven. You know, Brother Jay, somebody put on social media last week. Y'all up there already? Okay. Not yet. Somebody put on social media last week. See a little question. Who would you like to hug in heaven? Who'd you like to hug in heaven? And Brother Jay, I thought about that for a minute, and I said, you know what? The first person that I'd like to hug is I'd like to run to the throne of God. And I'd like to start doing some loving on a Savior for saving an old good person like me. I mean, and after I've hugged him for a long time, I've got a lot of family members, Brother Mike, that I want to see. I got that grandpa and grandma that I used to weed eat around their tombstone. And since that time, Sister Annette, I've got a precious little old daddy. I sure do. You know, Brother Brian, this sounds so silly, but I keep pictures of him on my phone. I keep pictures of him, Brother Mike, on my phone. And when Ashley, my daughter, was a little girl, she's 24 now, and she was probably 8, 9, maybe 10, I don't know. Papa was her hero. He loved her a little different than he loved any the boys, because she's the only girl. Daddy, when we'd go down from Springdale to see him, he'd always stick some money up in his pocket. And when we'd get there, that'd be little Ashley, and Daddy would look at her and go, needless to say, she loved her pappy. Amen. But somebody made that, who'd you like to hug? I'd like to hug my daddy and just squeeze him. Squeeze him all over. And one day I will.
Amen.
Why would I do that? Because I got on the right path, man.
Amen.
Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful? But I want to ask you tonight, I'm through, I promise. You're standing at a crossroads. You're in this house tonight and you're standing at a crossroads. You can look this way and you can look this way. Remember what a crossroad is. It is an intersection. It is something that whatever you choose to go would have everlasting consequences in your life.
Yes.
Life-changing, yes. Life-altering, yes. And eternal consequences in your life.
Amen.
Tonight, this is your choice. It's the world,
come on,
or it's Jesus.
That's
what you have tonight. I'm just not ready. I think I'd get ready to make that choice tonight.
Amen.
49-year-old girl. Brother, go ahead. Go ahead, play for me. A few weeks ago, there's a family in our church, Cyril and Sharon Griffith, sweet, sweet people. Their daughter is 49 years old, attended our church for years, and then she moved up in the edge of Kansas, Missouri, Kansas, moved there. She was seeing this man, and they were going to get married, and I don't know all the details about that, but what I know is this. She got out one night walking on the street there, on the edge of the street. When she got up that morning, boy, it's just like an everyday morning. She's a picture of perfect health. Pretty, pretty woman. Picture of health. And I promise you, when she got up that morning, the thought never crossed her mind, I'll never get to come back home tonight. Never crossed her mind. That night she's walking on the street or on the edge of the street, and it's dark, it's getting dark, and a younger gentleman didn't see her, and he ran over, killed her, 49 years old. She didn't have heart attack, she didn't have cancer, she didn't have anything wrong with her. It just happened. And I say that to say, we have no idea what life is going to throw at us. And we have no assurance of tomorrow. James says, take no thought of the morrow. Then he says this question, what is your life? What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So tonight as we bow our heads, you're standing at a crossroads tonight. And the first crossroads you're standing at is that you're lost. You're standing there and you know the road you've been traveling. The road you've been traveling is not doing anything for you. You know tonight that the road that you're walking on has brought you nothing but heartache, grief, and misery. You know that. But the Lord has allowed you to stand and look down another way, to choose another direction. You're in this house tonight and you say, Brother Clark, I need to be saved. I'm standing at that crossroads. If that's you tonight, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Would there be one hand that would say, that's me. I need to be saved. I'm not coming to you. I'm not calling you out. I'm not here to embarrass you. Just say, I'll pray for you. Just say, preacher, pray for me. Just lift your hand and set it back down. You're in this house tonight. You say, Brother Clark, I love Jesus. I love Him. But Brother Clark, I find myself tonight not as close to Him as I used to be. I've drifted a little. You know, preacher, I find myself doing things now that I used to would have never done. I used to would have never done because I love God so much. But I find myself doing things today that I wouldn't have done a year ago, that I wouldn't have done 5 years ago, that I'd have never done when I got saved. I wouldn't have done it. And that's where you're at tonight. If that's you tonight, doesn't mean you're bad, doesn't mean you're lost, doesn't mean you're going to hell, doesn't mean that at all. It just means there's something lacking, that you need a time of refreshing in the presence of God. If that's you tonight, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Thank you for your hands tonight. Thank you for your hands. You're here tonight. You don't have any of those problems, but it might be a problem in a relationship. It might be a problem in a marriage. It might be something that's personal, that you're standing at a crossroads. You've got a decision that you've got to make. And that may be you tonight. If that's you, would you just lift your hand tonight and say, that's me. That's me. God bless. God bless. What I'd like to ask you to do, God bless the hand. Let's stand together if we would. Many hands were